if Sunday mornings have looked different for you and you found them difficult because they just haven't looked like they have in the past, it's okay. Why? Because the Lord is with you. The great high shepherd won't allow you to do anything by yourself. He's always got a plan. John 10, 11 to 13 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. See, other shepherds, when moments get tough, when moments get dark and gloomy and there's no way out, will straight away flee. They'll go. If we think money is our shepherd that will lead us and satisfy our soul, what happens when life takes a turn and money cannot solve your problem? We're all alone thinking, I wish we had something to help us. Or what about following a shepherd of healthy living? Thinking that if we eat a certain diet or do certain activities or take certain vitamins, when illness or health concerns come knocking, there isn't enough CrossFit or avocado or turmeric and ginger, specific joke just for my dad, that can help and save your life. You can't rely on other shepherds because they'll run as soon as it gets tough. We can't even save ourselves. Yet, Jesus is saying, I'm not like the others. I will never, ever leave your side. It's not about if you feel the emotion of it or feel his presence of it. It's true because he says it's true. More than that, he's by our side. He carries a rod and a staff. A rod is a small club that would be used to defend sheep on oncoming attacks, and a staff used to help navigate sheep and pull them through tough terrain. We have a shepherd that in the season of difficulty and hardship we go through, he brings comfort and direction. God never wastes a tear of loneliness, hurt, or despair. He molds us, shapes us, and leads us in it. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. We have a table prepared for us by God for us to eat at. Wow. Individually and personally, a table for two, God and you to dine at. On this table, the wording here is not used as some sort of fast food meal or budget breakfast. It's the finest of feasts. This table is prepared just for you in mind. Maybe starting with the finest of steaks and then the freshest of fish or the creamiest of cheesecakes or the vegetableness of vegetables if you're a vegetarian. I'm not really sure. Like wherever you like to eat. Wherever the most delicious accoutrement of food it is, it's all there for you to have. And you and him are there to dine together. In fact, you're more than just kind of a nice little guest at the table. You're the prized guest. Because he anoints your head with oil. If someone has their head anointed with oil in this culture that Psalms was written, it was a great honor as a special guest. The Hebrew actually directly translates as, you fattened my head with oil. Pouring the most valued part of an animal upon the head of a guest with high value. My cup is filled to the brim, to the point where it overflows. The most thirst-quenching beverage you can imagine, pouring over. He refills your cup and your soul. Here's the stunning part. The table has been prepared in the face of your enemy. It's not prepared for a future meal when we meet with him in all his glory or prepared for something to come. It's prepared for right now. In this moment, as you walk daily with him, in the midst of all that is happening, for you to enjoy in the very face of your enemies. The focus here is the fact that though there is a battle around us, God wants to commune with us. He wants to be with us. We need to remember that the table invite was only for two people though. And the enemy wants to pull a seat at the table. Louis Giglio on this psalm wrote a book called Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. And he says this about this verse. We cannot control the valley of the shadow of death. There's a lot of stuff we cannot control. However, we can control some things. Will we sit at a table with the high king, or will we let the enemy pull up a chair with us? We've got to be clear to know that in the midst of our enemies, God serves us our plates to remind us that he is the focus of the meal. He has his hand to protect us. Often when my family, we go for a meal together, I'll be totally honest with you, I have a 3-year-old and 1-year-old, that's the ages of my boys. Everything distracts me. There's so many little things that just, I'll be honest with you, just annoy me. Like either there's we're trying to eat food and Judah, my oldest, is wanting to get down from his seat because he wants to get another sauce or get another drink, or Hezekiah has decided to be like, ooh, food has a fun texture. Let's put it on my face and my hair and then chuck it for everyone else to have. And so I end up truthfully at mealtimes being like, oh, what was the point of this? Why have we gone out for a meal? And yet the reminder has to always be the point of the meal was to commune with my family. It's to be together. I don't mind. I've grown up in a family who are loud and proud and wonderful family times. And so as I'm raising my family, I've got to remind myself that's why we have meals. It doesn't matter if it's a bit chaos. It's about the family being together. Here's the point. It doesn't matter about the chaos that's going around you. God wants to commune with you. He wants to be with you. We've got to be clear that in the midst of our enemy, God has consistently wanted to be with us. And he protects us. It's also the other part of the anointing. See, when shepherds in kind of olden days used to pour oil on a sheep's head, it was actually to form a barrier of protection. Because otherwise parasites would grow. In particular, disgusting part, up their noses. That's often the places where parasites would be. And so oil would basically be poured over to go through everything to be able to make sure that they were protected. God is a God of provision and protection. John 10:10, probably the most famous verse from John 10. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Or as the NIV says, I've come to give you life, life to the full. Following Jesus means that in the face of the enemy, we can have life in him to the fullness of satisfaction and fulfillment. No energy or effort on our side to make it happen. Even if we turn our backs and waste it away like the prodigal son, the Father is always looking out for us to return back and gives us the deepest embrace and the fullest of feast that only he can provide. Last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalm finishes with this full praise conclusion. A conclusion that speaks about the entire messaging of the Bible, God with us, Emmanuel. We see God's heart completely for us, with goodness and mercy chasing us, like the energy of excited dogs of wanting to be with you. We think that if we were to lay down the things we struggle with or put our comfort in Jesus compared to other things, then life might be a bit miserable, or life might be a bit boring. Or my life might not suit my desire because it's my life and I want it done in my way. What David is trying to get across is that actually if you fully surrender to God, all of you, it isn't misery you get, it's goodness. Even the harshest of seasons, God is still good. If you think that you can out-sin God, God is catching you, not with punishment, but releasing the hounds of goodness and mercy to be all over you. And because of this, we get the deep joy of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. From now till the rest of eternity. The indwelling of the Spirit does not happen when we pass from this life and start a new life with him. No, the indwelling of the Spirit happens when you've given your life to Jesus and eternity has begun now. Just in frailer bodies compared to what we're going to get. But we get to enjoy the sheer presence of God for all eternity. There should be a few things that should really just get us. That should deeply get us. And one of them should be the full knowledge that we can be in the presence of God at any and every moment. David had a packed life, full of war, family issues, difficulty, strife. But the one thing he considered to be worthwhile is being in the presence of God walking as a sheep to the shepherd. God is with us, the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, giving us full access to God, refilling us daily as we invite into his very presence. John 10 has shown us continuously that he is the good shepherd, which means he is always with and for the sheep. Not for a moment leaving us behind or to go astray, but drawing us closer to be with him. As we finish, there's another passage in John that points us to Jesus in a slightly different analogy, but to the same point. You see, because Jesus is not only the good shepherd, but he's also the great sheep. John 1 verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, going through the valley of the shadow of death, and dying for the justice of God, all our sin has been removed. The great shepherd leads us, protects us, feeds us, and by his death as being the sacrificial lamb, he took away our sin so the ultimate goodness and mercy can follow us all the days of our lives if we choose to believe in him. Jesus is the perfect sheep to save us from our sin, the perfect shepherd to bring us home. Here's the question: who's going to be your shepherd? That's why I just felt the words refreshment, refinement, refilling for you guys. Catherine and I, we didn't talk about what we felt like we wanted to bring to you. But she sent me this as I was driving. So I haven't fully read it, but still, what I have read, it fits massively. So she says this, but after I read this, where we're going is we're going to a time of ministry, just so you know. We're going to go to a time of prayer ministry. But let me read this for you. A few days ago, I was driving and I drove through an area that had a natural tunnel. Basically, the trees were so tall that they had met in the middle as they bent and made a tunnel on part of the road. And I felt like God was prompting me that this was going to be a part of a word he wanted to share with you, but I didn't specifically hear anything. Then yesterday, we drove through it again. But this time, I noticed two things. Firstly, if it rained in this area, this area would provide some protection as it was tight and closely knitted together. But also, there were gaps. These gaps were to let the light in, also to enable the road ahead to be seen. I feel like in the first part, God wants to remind you that you are closely knitted as a church, and he has created a place for people to come to when they need shelter and restoration, but also that his light is gently shining on you all, and there are plans and purposes ahead for you and the church, which as you drive along the path, you will see more of. But in the order for these plans and purposes to be seen, you need to let the light in. Need to use the gaps as faith points for new growth to come, because it will come and these will be the starting points that will lead you along the path that is coming. I think I could have just read out what she said instead of preaching for the last half an hour, to be honest with you. But so hits home. Just to encourage you as well, if we want the world to know that they can find a great shepherd, we need to tell the world. It's why I just want to plug Alpha, starting for you guys on the 25th of September. I saw the poster in the toilet. Get inviting. If you want to see the lost saved in Shepherd and beyond, it's not going to happen. Well, it could happen because he'll come again. It could happen because there'll be a revival in your town. But the more common way that he used, both in Acts and Scripture, after Jesus had just gone, but also in the history of the UK that we've seen, both if you look at the history of revival, if you look at this recent history of this quiet revival of generations turning to Jesus, it's because people have opened their mouths to say, hey, let me tell you about a Savior that could change your life. I believe in faith that actually this new season will be one of salvation. Jubilee is an apparent name because Jubilee in history of what you read in Deuteronomy is a reminder of what years have happened, celebrating of what is to come and the restart of everything that has been. I believe that that's the season you're heading into. It's a restart of something new, and the foundation of it has to be, God, we want you. We want you. There's nothing more important. So you right to just stand with me? I don't know if Josh is gone or not to play. You know, just grab him, is that all right? Unless he's doing childcare. Thanks. Do you want to just stand? Just stand with me. Josh is going to just play keys. I'm so grateful that we don't have a God who has to move because piano is playing, but it's just helpful. It just feels awkward silence. That's all. Just going to invite us where we are. If you're comfortable, just to close your eyes. Just feel in this moment that the Father just wants to comb his glorious hand through us. It might be actually that a moment like this, I'm certain that normally on Sundays, there are moments just invite the presence of God to be with us. But it might be the first time that you are giving yourself permission to do so. Just giving yourself permission to say, Holy Spirit, I do want to meet with you. If so, just as your eyes are closed, why don't you just put your hands in front of you. It's a physical display of happening what's within. Just putting your hands out just as a way of saying, Holy Spirit, I want to receive from you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You're so gentle, so kind. Isaiah 61 says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the opening of the prison to those who bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, Jubilee, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, and to give them a beautiful headrest instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the plant of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Even what I've said today, or even those verses, there might be just aspiration to you have in a heart. But the very first thing is, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's from that place that it starts. It doesn't start with action, it starts with devotion. And so right now, I just pray, Holy Spirit, just come. Just fill us afresh. Fill us afresh. Fill us afresh. Come, Holy Spirit. Just in this moment, you might just start feeling just either a wave of peace over you, or even heat upon your hands or heat over your body. What we're doing here is we're just inviting the baptism of the Spirit. That's what we're doing. I'm so many of you know this. In fact, I know some of you taught me this. But it's just a fresh sense of just inviting the presence of God within. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh. Okay, in this moment, so because it was specifically I felt, these are words for the church, specifically I felt that there'll be some people here today that this idea of being filled with the presence of God, you've either never experienced before, or it might be a bit weird, a bit alien. But I want to give you specifically a moment. Either it's just been really kind of dry for a long season, or you've never really felt that you've been filled with the presence of God. This is family. And so what I'm going to invite sounds scary. It's not. It's gentle. It's loving. But it's family. And so if you just in particular feel like either it's been a long time, I've never been filled with the presence of God, in particular, to raise your hand in a second when I say. And what we're going to invite is we're going to invite other family members, other church family members, to get around and lay hands and pray. just to lay hands and pray for the infilling of the Spirit, because that's what the Bible says. That's what it instructs us to do in Acts. Is that why? Is that okay? Okay. So if you haven't been filled with the presence of God, if you know that you haven't been filled with the presence of God, or filled in particular, baptized in the Spirit of God, or it's just been so long, you're like, man, I just need something refresh. If you can just now, just put your hand up, make yourself known, just identify yourself. Either put it in your air or put it really in front of you. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you, God. Cool. All right, ministry team, you guys lead this, isn't it? All right, go around, get praying. I think that guy over there. Dad. Cool. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Do you want to sing? Okay, while this is happening, we're going to just respond in a song and sing together, and then we'll call it. So I'm going to hand over to the band to lead us in this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.